Hello and welcome. This is the Boxing News Podcast. It's called The Opening Bell. My name's Matt Christie and I again am joined by John Dennan. A lot to get through this time. How are you, John? Okay? Forward to this?
I'm awake now, Matt. You're awake. Sleep deprived for about a week, but I'm back.
And you had an impromptu night on the beers as well midweek, didn't you?
Not just the one night, Matt.
Okay, but you are looking better than you were looking yesterday, I've got to say.
What are you trying to imply, man?
Okay.
Like, I can drink three beers and come into work with a smile on my face. I can't, that was a lie.
Okay, so Mayweather-Pacquiao is getting closer. We'll talk in length about that.
We've 23 got 23 days left.
23 days.
I'm not ready.
I don't think anybody is yet. It's been such a long and drawn out period before the fight that goes back best part 6 years that I don't think anybody's going to be ready for it, really. Hopefully the fighters will be and those involved, and hopefully the MGM Grand will be.
Hopefully they'll sell some tickets to someone so some people can get in and see it.
But it's going to be. It's still going to have an element of surprise when those two get in the ring, that's for sure. But yeah, we've got some exciting news about what we've done, what we're doing website-wise. We'll round up the latest stories regarding Mayweather's mouthpiece and Manny Pacquiao. But first of all, let's follow the format that we always do. We look back on the weekend's action. We'll look ahead to what's upon us. So we'll start with Anthony Joshua.
Let's.
Predictable win for Joshua against Jason Gaverne, would you say?
As in you predicted it. Like last week you were saying you thought Gaverne would last, you know, a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
I was saying I thought Joshua was going to crush him in about a minute. So as in who was going to win and the fact that they were going to win by knockout was entirely obvious from the start.
That's the furthest that Joshua's been, isn't it?
By 5 seconds.
And Konstantin Erik was the
previous record holder.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's done 3 rounds as an amateur.
But it's, you know, Jason Gaverne, a lot. You were there. You experienced it all from ringside. A lot of people experienced it from the television set, and I saw a few criticisms of that being a main event on a Sky bill, which I understood, to be honest, but it doesn't rile me as much as, for example, Bellew Cleverly 2 being on pay-per-view, for example.
What does rile you as much as that, though, Matt?
But as in terms of Anthony Joshua, he is clearly a rising star. The British public at large are interested in him.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, things like this, I look closely at what does well on our website and what doesn't and what have you. And for the most part, Anthony Joshua is one of the most popular guys on our website in terms of the figures that he attracts. And as we touched on last week, he's a heavyweight, he's a good-looking heavyweight, he's a charismatic heavyweight.
He can fight.
And he can fight a bit. He's British, he did well at the Olympics. These are the kind of guys that really do draw in the casual sports fans. So you can see why Matchroom put him at the top. Also, the fight fell through.
Bradley Saunders, Dave Ryan, which probably would have been a good fight. That would have been the main event on paper. But even having said that, you know, it's worth pointing out that, you know, obviously, like, the Dickinsons had their fans, the North East Fighters on the bill had their fans, but everyone as a group was there to see Anthony Joshua. Like, that's when he was fighting, that's when the arena was at its fullest. So you kind of have to have him as the main event, or at least leave him until the end, because that's the person everyone wants to see. Because the super flyweight Commonwealth title fight was on after Joshua, so I don't know if that made it a main event of sorts on paper, but certainly everyone was there to see Joshua.
It is. It's like I say. It's understand. I mean, both sides of the argument I'm down with, to be honest. I completely can see it from both sides. But I think the biggest criticism is the fact that when a main event is, you know, it's a mismatch, virtually. It's a virtual mismatch. Then it's a bit frustrating. But I think you'd find that the hardcore boxing fans would have probably found it more frustrating than the casual sports fans that perhaps just want to see one big lump knock out another big lump.
I think that's probably fair. I think a lot of people in Newcastle were there to see big Anthony Joshua knock someone out. And also, the weigh-in had a pretty good turnout, as if they wanted to see Joshua weigh in, knock someone out the next day, and it didn't seem like anyone left. Because I was at that same arena for when Stewie Hall was fighting Martin Ward for their bantamweight title, which was a world title, and that ended really quickly. Maybe it was just two rounds with a cut, but that was really deflating because everyone was just sort of emitted a group sigh of frustration and trudged off into the night. Whereas this, people got the sort of, yes, it wasn't the most exciting three rounds in the world. And I think Joshua's looked better as a pro and as an amateur than he did on Saturday. But there were those sort of, you know, cheers and gasps when he was letting the big bombs go and when they got their four knockouts. So I don't think people went away frustrated. I suppose to defend Sky, they did get in Adonis Stevenson as well. So I wasn't. Well, I was that, there in the arena, was, so I wasn't watching it.
That was the saving grace, I think, watching from home, was that we had that to watch as well. But also with that, with Anthony Joshua, said it last week, touched upon it in this week's Boxing News and Heroes and Villains, in that, you know, Joshua, what was this, his 11th fight?
Yeah.
Fighting someone like Jason Gavern, who didn't have that much notice, but has been in with some top guys, experienced. It's kind of par for the course at this stage of a heavyweight prospect's career, particularly when he's coming back from injury. He's got a big-ish fight with Kevin Johnson looming in the horizon. I think it would have been short-sighted of anyone to think it would have been anyone more formidable than Jason Gavern. Me personally, perhaps Joshua would be better served kind of being chief support and having a really nice main event. I think that's a good spot for him, which perhaps is what they intended it to be initially. But we've seen it before, the likes of Frank Bruno, Gary Mason, Audley Harrison, even Lennox Lewis all had to kind of shield strong criticism of some of the opposition. And they were all generally taking centre stage when they were knocking these guys out. So
yeah. So I think he needs to have these learning fights. And you want him to have these learning fights now before he wins some real titles and, you know, gets down to the serious business.
But that's it,
it's just the sort of catch-22 is he's already famous. Everyone knows. He is actually one of the mainstream stars in British boxing.
Yes.
One of the people know. I think the problem is we need more stars.
We need more stars, mate.
Cal Brooks seems like he's doing really well. Really huge support in Sheffield. Carl Frampton, pretty big star, I'd say. But with Froch retiring, or semi-retired, or not fighting at the moment, who are the other big stars in British boxing? Amir Khan.
Josh Warrington.
They love him in Leeds.
Exactly.
The atmosphere there is fantastic.
Exactly. Let's, what else was going on in Newcastle? There was a few, you mentioned to me that there are a few hammerings that perhaps could have been curtailed a little bit earlier.
Yeah, very much so. On the undercard, it was just sort of, you know, Hosea Burton, you were sort of battering Joe Hillaby along the ropes, and the referee was just not, it just took him way too long to step in when he was obviously gone, and it was just the ropes holding him up. Jeff Saunders, who's Bradley Saunders' brother, had an exciting pro debut, absolutely pole-axed. Sandor racked. Huge punch. You know, not the guy, not, you know, knocked him down heavily. The guy somehow managed to get up, and the referee just let him go on to be absolutely hammered again. It was totally mad.
How shocked were you when Travis Dickinson went down like that?
Well, I thought he'd win it easily. I thought this was just almost a marking time fight before he fought for the British title. So I was expecting to win it easily. As soon as the fight started, he was looking rushed, but was getting caught by these right hands bowled over the top. So somehow I thought he could be in danger here, but I wasn't expecting him to be. You know, that was a heavy knockout as well. Just the sort of the expression on his face when he was trying to stand up and with his balance completely gone, he couldn't get his legs to function. That was a sort of pretty astonishing knockout. But also on the same night, Ian Jackson, I think it was Jordan King, who knocked him out badly. And again, like, he needed to get, you know, they needed to get, yeah, it was Jordan King who knocked him out, and he was just sort of sat down with his legs folded under him, out of it. And the referee was like counting to five, and it's like, you know, it's quite clear the medics and stuff wanted to get in to give him
oxygen.
I wasn't impressed.
It's just a typical night in Newcastle.
Possibly. I can comment, man.
I've had some good nights in Newcastle.
I bet you have, Christian.
Okay, so let's move on.
Newcastle's quite pleasant, really.
Yeah, no, it is. I like Newcastle. Okay, so let's talk about Adonis Stevenson, Saki Obika. Have you had a chance to see this fight yet?
No.
No, okay, well, that's fine. I've watched it. It was kind of as you expected. Didn't do a great deal for either fighter, in all honesty. Went the full 12, Beaker decked a couple of times, one of the knockdowns perhaps questionable. No doubt about the winner. You still kind of came away with the feeling that he's a level below Sergei Kovalev, Adonis Stevenson. How close that fight is, I don't know. But Beterbiev...
He's an animal, mate.
On the undercard... against a former WBO champion, Gabriel Campeão. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I would pronounce it.
Who admittedly has seen better days, so I think perhaps we should all just calm down a bit with our praise of Beterbiev. But he's one of those guys, having said that, he's one of those guys where it's very, very hard to contain your excitement about him. He looks like... He's one of those guys, he's almost like can't miss prospect, you know? You're a lot more familiar with him from the amateur days than I am, of course, but from what I've seen of him as a professional, I think he's got world champion written all over him. I'd probably pick him to beat Stevenson. Wouldn't be surprised if he beat Kovalev.
I'd pick him to beat everyone at light heavyweight.
Yeah, no, there's a chance that he could be the best light heavyweight in the world, but we must, let's just... You know, professional and amateurs, we know they're two different codes, know they're two different games. And Campeão and Tavoris Cloud are the best two guys that Beterbiev has been in with, and they have both seen better days. But so let's wait.
Let's crush them the way Beterbiev has.
Let's wait and see what happens when he goes in against someone, okay, Jean Pascal level, for example.
Crush him, mate.
Crush him.
He'll crush him.
He'll crush him.
Then he'll crush Stevenson.
But if anybody out there hasn't watched Beterbiev yet, yeah, we really strongly, strongly advise that you do so. Anything going on last weekend that we haven't mentioned? Anything big? That's pretty much it, isn't it?
There were a few things going on. Nothing too earth-shattering. Luke Blackledge won the Commonwealth title.
It's a good win for Blackledge over Liam Cameron.
Seems like a relatively quiet weekend for boxing last weekend.
Yeah, so what's going on? We've got a big, big weekend this weekend, haven't we? There's an absolutely cracking bill in New York.
Yeah, that is good.
And that's at the Barclays Centre. And I've been lucky enough to be there. I've been there twice. And it's a really, really good venue. But Andy Lee against Peter Quillen. Wow, what a fight that is. And it's really hard to pick, isn't it? It's really hard to call. Peter Quillen unbeaten, you would argue, I think, fairly, that he's beaten better quality opposition than Andy Lee has.
Until Korobov,
and then even then, what we you could also perhaps make the argument that we're overrating Korobov. Who did Korobov beat as a professional?
Yeah, that his reputation was all from his amateur days, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and you were sort of waiting for him to.
Yeah. So yeah, please don't think I'm not giving Andy Lee credit for that win over Korobov, which was sensational, as was.
Peter Quillen didn't want the Korobov fight.
He didn't want it, and the. The win that led to that, of course, was against John Jackson, which was a knockout of last year, which was sensational. But Peter Quillen, unbeaten, very talented fighter. Which way is it going to go, John?
That's the thing, because sort of the fact that Lee took the Korobov fight and beat him makes me think that he should be able to beat Peter Quillen. But
Quillen obviously fancies this one.
Yeah, and Andy Lee's last two wins, he's been sort of losing, but pulled it out of the bag with his knockout power. And he's, if that happens again, can he really score another fight-saving knockout?
I think there's more revealing moments of the past that would lead you to come to the conclusion that Andy Lee will lose than. Vice versa, then Quillen will lose.
My heart says Andy Lee wins.
I think Andy Lee will do it. I think at this point Andy Lee will do it. But, I remember Andy Lee when he blasted out former champion Carl Daniels back in like 2007, 2008. Andy Lee looked something special then. Manny Stewart, of course, was wanting to pitch him in with Kelly Pavlik after about seven or eight fights, convinced that Andy Lee was going to go and rule the world. And then it all went wrong in an ESPN televised fight against Brian Vera. Andy Lee was very strong early on and seemed to run out of gas, started to take punches. His discipline, his tactics went out the window, and Brian Vera stopped him in seven rounds. It's taken a while, I think, for Andy Lee to get over that. There were signs that he'd kind of got his game back together again. Then he came up against Julio Cesar Chavez. Again, he was doing well. Oh, he was doing well early, and he lost that. And in some of his victories as well, there's been some real, real nervy moments with Andy Lee. I don't think there's any doubting his boxing ability, his power, but you do sometimes wonder if there's a few weaknesses there. So
my head says Peter Quillen could win. He's going to win, but my heart wants Andy Lee to win.
Peter Quillen, I remember Peter Quillen when he came through against Hassin Jam and Cam.
Easy for you to say.
It's not, clearly. Yeah, I remember that, and that was a fight where he was really up against it. And I think the only way that he managed to win that fight was that he just kept scoring knockdown after knockdown after knockdown. Whereas there were times where he was clearly being outfought and outboxed.
So Andy Lee's going to do it,
or
you're making me veer from one to the other, man.
Well, exactly. This is the fight. This is what it's all about. It's a fight well worth watching. I think British viewers get a chance to watch it. It's on Box Nation. This one, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So I'll certainly be watching this one live. But there's an interesting fight on the undercard. Undercard. It may take. I'm not actually sure which is the main event over in New York.
I think it's. I think Danny Garcia and Mont Peterson probably is the main
is
event.
Is the main event in America.
Obviously for us in the UK,
yeah.
We're liking Andy Lee.
But the Mont Peterson against Danny Garcia is absolutely fascinating. It's a brilliant fight, but so much of the sparkle from this bout has been stained by the fact that the title's not on the line.
Yeah.
It's dreadful. And Daniel Herbert, who's been covering boxing since 1985, I believe, he has provided the Boxing News website with a very, very good blog on his take on catchweights, and that's the reason that the title's not on the line. is the whole catchweight situation. They're going to come in above the light welterweight limit.
Could have been a unification fight.
It could have been a unification fight. And, you know, Al Haymon, we say he's the saviour of boxing. Well, I don't say we, but it's been said that he's the saviour of boxing. And don't get me wrong, he's doing a lot of good things. But it's a little bit, I'm not quite down with what he's doing here.
No.
Because you'd think if he really was the saviour of boxing, he'd be getting all the titles unified and this, that and the other. This, as Daniel Herbert says, and I won't take credit for this, thinking, it is pretty, you get the feeling that it's almost to preserve the loser. So whatever happens here, the loser can still go back down and fight for Al Haymon in a world title fight, defending his title.
It's not the first time Lamont Peterson's done that.
Not the first time Lamont Peterson has done that. But, okay, that aside, fascinating matchup. Garcia has been making noises about moving up for a long time. He's blamed that on, I think his last performance was a little bit shaky, and he blamed it on whole making weight and what have you. So Garcia, you would think, would be favourite.
I'd say so, yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, not that long ago that he was being mentioned as a potential opponent for Floyd Mayweather, when he was blasting through the remnants of Eric Morales. He looked impressive. Out Amir Khan, let's not forget as well.
Absolutely outboxed Lucas Matisse, didn't he?
Yeah, and he got the better of Lucas Matisse, which is no mean feat. And so you'd make Garcia the favourite, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the kind of whole catch weight thing is probably might be the defining thing in his favour. But again, another fight that's well worth watching.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a good show.
Yeah, it is. What else is going on this weekend?
Well, Josh Warrington.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting in Leeds. There are a couple of the fights in the undercard are sort of falling apart.
Yeah, it's a shame. Which ones are still there, or which ones?
Well, Josh Warrington, the main event, is still there. Martin Ward, Maxie Hughes.
That's off, fight. Isn't it?
No, that's on.
Oh, that's on, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That'll be a good fight. But then Bob Adjesev's opponent for the Commonwealth title didn't make it over. So he's still gonna be on. But you know, they haven't got I guess he won't be in a title fight. Chris Jenkins was going to be fighting Tyrone Nurse for the British light welterweight title. It would have been Willie Limond. That would have been a great fight. But again, Limond is out. And today, Chris Jenkins, he's withdrawn through illness. So Tyrone Nurse is still going to be on, and maybe they'll find a title for him to fight for.
Okay.
So actually, yeah, the two people who would have been fighting for the British title on that show have both had to pull out.
But it's always interesting to see how Josh Warrington gets on.
It's always interesting to see how loud his fans are.
I like Josh Warrington. I do like Josh Warrington. There is. So is he the next Ricky Hatton?
Yes.
You think he is? You think he's got? Your instinct, your gut reaction is that yes, there's absolutely no doubt there.
Well, yeah. I mean, If Lee Selby is the Welsh Mayweather, then Josh Warrington's the Leeds Ricky Hatton. Luke Campbell's the Rigondo.
No.
Matt Christie's the next Boxing News Jason Statham.
The next Ricky Hatton, I said, not the Leeds Ricky Hatton.
Oh, right.
Could he potentially be taking thousands and thousands and thousands of fans over to Las Vegas in world title fights? This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, not quite like Ricky
Hatton.
He'll bring thousands to London.
Okay.
Problem is, featherweight's an incredibly strong division. So I know Josh Warrington is like chasing on the heels of Lee Selby. And let's say Lee Selby can beat Gradovich for Gradovich's world title, then Warrington Selby's a big fight. But outside of that, featherweight, it's going to be very, very hard to win a world title. They're really good, aren't they? obviously Lomachenko's all right, but the others are good too. Like Gary Russell Jr. is something looking decent. Obviously, he won what, a week or two ago.
Nicholas, so you're telling me you'd pick Lomachenko and Gary Russell Jr. over Josh Warrington? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You know, it's with a heavy heart, Matt, but that's just, it is what it is.
But, I mean, seriously, what do you think of Warrington's potential? The comparisons to Ricky Hatton, of course, were drawn because of Warrington's tremendous support. But he can fight a bit as well.
Yeah, he's also got an all-action, come-forward style, really high work rate. The power seems to be coming on.
Ricky Hatton kind of, let's not forget, Ricky Hatton, big prospect, very popular, kind of, was immediately taken into boxing fans' hearts with the way that he fought and his personality as well. Warrington's got a bit about that about him. And Hatton, of course, he won the WBU title, I think, and he defended it a few times, and he beat a few guys that were on the way down at world level. And he got the fight against Costa Zhu, and not many people thought he'd do that. And that is really catapulted him into a whole new level. Few people thought he had that performance in him. Has Josh Warrington got that kind of improvement in him to get to world level?
You're not convinced,
are you?
No, I don't want to be down him. I think he's very good, and I'm surprised he's won the European title so quickly. But I can't see him breaking through to win the world title at featherweight. I'm sorry, I hope he does, but it's just, those guys are hard to beat. And plus, does he beat Lee Selby?
Probably not.
No, and then outside of Granovic, Lee Selby would have a hard time beating any of the other world champions. He might have to move up in weight soon as well, or eventually, because he's so big. You know, and then you'd have the super bantamweights, you might not be able to hold the weight for that much longer. So then, Warrington could find himself in a really exciting division with really exciting fights, but would you pick him over Scott Quigg at featherweight or Carl Frampton at featherweight? Plus, you'd have to fight through them to get to Gary Russell Jr. Gary Russell Jr., like, he's no Lomachenko, but who is? But he's pretty fast, pretty slick, pretty skillful. And then, yeah, no one beats Lomachenko, except for Orlando Salido.
Yeah, you do love Lomachenko.
No, I just tell it like,
and you hate Josh Warrington, that's somebody else you
I
hate.
I don't actually hate Josh Warrington. Josh Warrington's a good egg.
Okay, so...
I'm just saying I wouldn't be putting Josh Warrington in with Lomachenko right now, that's what I'm saying.
All right. No, I hear you, I hear you.
I want Selby to beat Gradovich, and I want Josh Warrington to fight Selby for the IBF featherweight title.
Okay, so let's say if Josh Warrington just was matched with Lomachenko, of course we all would think that Lomachenko would win. But John, who would you want to win?
I would want the best man on the night.
Oh man, you'd want Lomachenko. See, you love Lomachenko and you hate Josh Warrington. Okay, so let's move on to...
Lynch by the time I go back to Leeds. I'm a long-standing friend to Leeds.
I know you are, mate. I know you are. All right, so let's talk about then. We are half an hour in. So let's have a chat about the developments with Manny Pacquiao this week, Floyd Mayweather Jr. this week. Now, before we came into this room to record the podcast, I did mention that although people are obviously very, very excited by the fight, I think the fact that it's kind of sold itself already has done absolutely nothing for the build-up.
Yeah.
I think Mayweather himself has said something along the lines of, yeah, all that trash talking I did in the past, that was to sell the fight. Don't have to this time, so I'm not going to say anything. I think we all find trash talking a little bit distasteful. It can go over the top, however...
Better than nothing.
I think we want something.
I've got to say, after last week's peanut butter cup bombshell,
Well, this is the thing we spoke about that last week, didn't we? But I mean, yeah, basically the biggest news with what, 3 weeks to go? Biggest news with 3 weeks to go before the biggest fight of all time occurs is that Floyd Mayweather has allegedly paid out $25,000. I've seen reports of it being $33,000 on a New York dentist to design his mouthpiece for the fight that will have diamond dust on it, gold flecks on it, and $100 bills inside it.
Okay. That sounds... that doesn't sound like it's going to taste good.
No, it sounds... It also, hence me saying allegedly, but Mayweather has released these quotes and what have you. It seems like it's a massive, massive joke. But the fact is that if you, a couple of days ago, were to go in and do a search of Floyd Mayweather on Google, you would have been greeted with 10 variations on the $25,000 mouthpiece story. We need more.
We do.
As boxing fans, we need more. This might appeal to the hello audience or whatever, but we need something more to get our teeth into. No pun intended.
But it would have been a very good pun.
It would. But...
there are still things to worry about.
Like what?
Well, Pacquiao's team have now said, there's no problem with his calves, but there were talks of these calf cramps.
Right.
And you wonder why you shouldn't be getting... I don't think you should be getting calf cramps at this stage of a camp. Like, you shouldn't be... What do you get? Like, you shouldn't be being dehydrated unless he's, like, overtrained or something like that. You shouldn't really be getting them. And this weird, fabulously expensive ointment, does that work or something? Or I don't know. Or maybe it is just all hot air. Have tickets gone on sale yet?
No.
Why not? What's going on there?
No.
The poster has gone up on the MGM Grand, so fight has to happen.
It has gone up. Yeah. It has gone up. Did you see the promo? The promo was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. No, I mean, I am so excited about this fight. But I just feel that there's a bit more, perhaps, that the camps could be doing. It's just been taken very, very... And there's also no doubt in my mind that it will do the numbers that people are kind of estimating. But I think with a bit more work, with a bit more promotional work, it could do even more.
Yeah.
And I just don't really feel like it's caught fire.
America.
Yeah, exactly.
So you think if they want to do crazy numbers, which yeah, probably will, but still, they wanted to really push it. That would help. I don't think it's sort of everyone's just going to buy it anyway.
Having said all that about the disappointing levels of news, we have hopefully by the time... Well, no, it won't be actually. It won't be live by the time you listen to this, if you listen on a Thursday. But we're hoping that the Mayweather-Pacquiao boxing news microsite will be live by Friday. Is it the 10th tomorrow? 9th tomorrow?
It's the 10th tomorrow.
April 10th, we're hoping that the Mayweather Pacquiao microsite will be live. We've all put a lot of hard work into it. There's a lot of stuff on there already. Loads and loads of information that stretches back to when this fight was being rumoured the latest time, which I believe is like September, maybe even going back to last summer. We've got all the stories there, but we've also kind of, we've drawn it all, we've put it all together. There's Mayweather's story on there, there's Pacquiao's story. We've broke the fight down into different categories in terms of who's superior in what area. There's all the podcasts and everything on there, there's galleries on there. And when we're out in Las Vegas, we'll be doing videos and what have you. Basically, it's all you're going to need to know about the fight. There'll be live blogs. There'll be a live blog, obviously, during the fight and the build-up, the day itself. We're intending to start that live blog first thing in the morning as people start gathering at the MGM Grand. So it really will take you through. And I think what we've found with the live blogs is that, and what people have said, the feedback that we've got is that it's a nice companion, isn't it? It's a nice companion to watching the fight. You got your laptop or your tablet, and you can see what us pillocks are saying about the fight at hand. But yeah, no, we hope that you all get involved with the Mayweather-Pacquiao microsite. You will be able to access it through the boxingnewsonline.net site. But we really, really hope you enjoy it. And as always, really, really welcome any feedback, any criticisms. And of course, it's always nice to get a bit of praise as well, now and again.
You're wonderful.
Okay, so
I really enjoyed that whole speech.
Did you? I got a bit carried away. I do apologise.
Into this other world. I was in Las Vegas. And Mayweather was actually fighting Pacquiao.
So
it's good the microsite though.
All
the stuff you didn't even know that you wanted to know.
Exactly.
And all the stuff you didn't even know that you didn't want to know.
Exactly. There's a lot on there. There is a lot on there, though, isn't there? Joking aside, there is a lot of stuff that we've put on there.
Their lives, how they train, everything that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that story about Manny Pacquiao eating his pet dog because he's so hungry. It's all on there. It's all on there. So, John, anything else? Current to the 40-minute mark. I think I'm all out now after that after that speech.
Stream of consciousness. Yeah, there's other stuff going on.
Go on then, what else? What else were we going to talk about?
What were we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Big show happening at the O2 at the end of May.
What do you make of this, though, actually? Hang on, sorry. We will talk about that in a second. But let's just go back to Mayweather. I was going to talk about this. Have you seen this news story? It's on our website. The amount that Mayweather is set to earn this year compared to the highest paid athletes, their earnings over a year. And it will dwarf what any of these guys have made, the likes of Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Michael Schumacher is in there as well. This is crazy, crazy high numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, I've got no problem with boxers. I've got no problem with boxers making money, so great that these guys are earning a fortune. But I think the worrying thing is more, obviously no one else earns anything near this, but just in terms of the sort of the top, it's a small number of the top boxers who make a lot of money, and I'm not sure if it really filters down to the other boxers, like the mid-level guys, or it's really hard, it's a small percentage of those who break through into the big money, which probably is a problem for the sport.
But would that not be fair to say it's similar in all sports? When if you take
it's not similar in football, is it?
Well, footballers earn, like your Premier League footballers would earn, you know, an obscene amount. But if you think of all the people that are playing football, you look at all the leagues, all the Saturday leagues and what have you, I think there's probably a percentage, I would guess.
What you're saying is, I need to refine my argument before I come back and put it to you again.
No, not necessarily, because I'm literally responding to you. I haven't done any research myself into it, but
all right, then you're completely wrong, Matt. That's nonsense.
But yeah, no, it's I hear you. I do hear you.
And there's a sign too that sort of Mayweather and Pacquiao are the sport at the moment. That's where all the money is, and you know, and they're getting on. There are only how many years do either of them have left? This is meant to be Mayweather's last year, apparently. So who are going to be the new stars to take over?
No, exactly. It's something we've spoke about before. Okay, going back to your football argument and kind of favouring your football argument to an extent, I suppose, would be that there's lots and lots of matches in the Premier League, for example, that will generate a lot of interest from the people paying at the door, people subscribing and watching at home. Whereas there's only this fight, there's only these two guys that could generate this amount of money.
Yeah.
And the fact, I can't remember where I read it, but the fact that we're still craving it after 5 years, does that perhaps suggest that there's been a lack of quality in the last 5 years? Because the reason we're still craving it is because there's been nothing else to get truly excited about.
Yeah, and there's nothing else that sort of comes close to this fight in terms of levels of interest, which is a worry as well.
Because if we're honest, what we want is a very, very competitive fight and a rematch in order to sustain the interest. Because it isn't clear who is going to take the mantle, is it? We talk about Canelo Alvarez, who's already lost clearly, very clearly, I thought, to Floyd Mayweather, who's the obvious one.
Yeah, he's always got
a few bubbles under.
Yeah, he's got the popularity,
yeah.
But he's not in, you know, and as great a fighter as he is, he's not, you know, we saw he wasn't close to Mayweather. And then the guys who might have the skill to be as good as the likes of Mayweather, like the Lomachenkos of this world, are they, you know, he's fighting in America, he's fought in Macau. I can't imagine, you know, can compete in terms of popularity. So I don't know. You know, well, we're finishing on a downbeat note. We're doomed.
We shouldn't think of something really, really euphoric.
Last night in Fabric was amazing. On the bright side, May is a mental month, so it starts with Mayweather Pacquiao, and you've got Alvarez fighting the week after.
Well, no, I think let's go back the week before that, where you're going to be as well. Klitschko Jennings, I think we could argue it starts there. So then talk through it.
Well, Anthony Duryea, Badu Jack, starts there for me. But then Klitschko. So the heavyweight scene could potentially be great. Kind of, if you see some movement for Klitschko and Deontay Wilder getting close to fighting each other, which I'm not entirely confident is gonna happen. So then you've got the big one on May 2, Mayweather Pacquiao, plus some decent fights during the week. Ray Beltran gets to fight for the world title. That's all right. Saul Alvarez is in action, gets James Kirkland. I'll probably be quite entertaining for as long as it lasts. Golovkin, not everyone expects him to win comfortably, but he's still, the style with which he takes his wins is still worth watching. You've got James Dugal, hoping to become the first British Olympic gold medalist to win a professional world title.
Go on. Keep on talking.
Yeah, and then on May 30, it all kicks off. Big show at the O2. Kevin Mitchell v. Jorge Linares. And the Welsh Mayweather versus the Russian Pacquiao. Basically a final eliminator to fight Josh Warrington.
Yeah, so there is some stuff then to get excited about.
Yeah, but then what's happening in June? Scott Quigg, Carl Frampton.
Cotto surely will fight in June, really.
Let's hope so. Someone's got to. Amir Khan, Kell Brook on. Scott Quigg, Carl Frampton on.
Cotto against Daniel Gill or Cornelius Bundridge seems to be the two front runners, which is just underwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on. No, we were again about to finish on a downer.
So let's just enjoy May.
Yeah.
You know, and the future will take care of itself.
It's nice. I like that. The future will take care of itself, as it always has, and it always will. Okay, now thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back again next week, where hopefully there'll be a bit more Mayweather Pacquiao stuff to talk about. I'm sure there will be. And we will, of course, be dissecting Andy Lee's New York adventure against Peter Quillen. So we'll speak to you then, and thanks again for getting involved. Remember, Mayweather Pacquiao micro site, let us know what you think. Cheers then. Bye.